Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence around here. And by the way, I want to remind you that tomorrow, I'm very excited about Senator Mike Enzi, who's going to be back on the show. Senator Enzi is, I always forget if it's Montana or Wyoming. I think it's Wyoming. Senator Enzi is a great American, and he is the champion of small business in the Senate, especially in the area of health care, trying to get health care reform through Congress. And so he's going to be here again. He's been with us a couple times before, and he's going to be here with us tomorrow in this hour to help us understand what's going on in Congress, what's going on in the Senate, some of the wacky stuff that's going on up there, and if health care reform for small business even has any kind of a chance, and what you and I can do to maybe to help that. So that's Mike Enzi coming up, and I'm always happy to tell you about him and to reintroduce you to him. He's a great American. You don't want to miss that interview. You don't want to miss this interview either, ladies and gentlemen, because Jennifer Reed Hawthorne is our guest. She's an old friend of ours, a longtime friend, a good friend. I shouldn't say that. You got to be careful. You're not supposed to say old friend with ladies, I know that, but she's a good sport, and also the co-author of the New York Times number one bestseller, Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul, and Chicken Soup for the Mother's Soul. She's the author of The Soul of Success, which is also a New York Times bestseller, and she's our good friend. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Jim.
Are we good enough friends that I can call you an old friend?
Yes, indeed. I'm a young old friend.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know, I like saying old friend, but sometimes when you're talking to ladies, it just doesn't have the same ring. And so I apologize for that. But she is a good friend of ours, folks, and a regular member of our Brain Trust, has been with us now for some time. And Jennifer, we thank you for being back with us.
It's my pleasure, Jim.
You know, Jennifer, one of the things that I've done since day one since I've been the Small Business Advocate now in our 10th year has been trying to get small business owners to define the line, to be able to see a little more of a delineation where the seam comes together between our personal lives and our business lives. That seam, our world as a business owner, and as a human being with families and another life, it weaves a fine seam, doesn't it, between those two worlds?
Definitely.
And I've been trying to help me, even not just my audience, but me too, understand where those two universes, those two worlds that we have to move back and forth in, and how our personal lives sometimes get short shrift with the plans that we make for our businesses. What do you think about all that?
Well, it's a very interesting point that you raise, and I think you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, trying to find balance in life is one of the biggest cries that we hear from people today, especially people who are out there working, which is most of us, right? Whether
That's
you're
right.
working at home or working outside the home, everybody's trying to make a living and trying to make it all work. And what I've been examining for the past year or so, Jim, is not only how to make those two worlds of our professional and business lives more seamless, but how to make them both easier. Because let's face it, we're the common element in both, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. We're the common denominator. That's exactly right.
That's right. And it seems to me that as I really take a deep look at this, the circumstances of life, whether they're personal or business, are not always within our control. We do our best, you know, to make things happen a certain way and to keep things on schedule and to accomplish things, to raise our kids well, to perform well in our creative work. But you know as well as I do, you know, that old saying of the best laid plans, right?
Right, right.
So circumstances are not always within our control, but what is within our control is the way we live our lives. And I think that's where we can start to find the potential for making the two worlds of business and personal more seamless. If we can look at ourselves and see what could be changed here? Does anything need to be changed?
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, and this is going to be quite contrary to, you know, the common self-help view of making it happen,
mm-hmm.
but the thing that has become so important for me, Jim, is understanding that when we stop trying to make it all happen, something magical really can be permitted to happen.
When we come back after these messages, Jennifer's going to tell us how to ease up on ourselves a little bit and maybe just let it happen. Don't try to make it happen, let it happen. She's going to have her work cut out for me, for herself, when it comes to me, as you know, ladies and gentlemen. 20 Tail, stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Jennifer Hawthorne. Jennifer Reed Hawthorne is the author of The Soul of Success, A Woman's Guide to Authentic Power. Now, yes, it says A Woman's Guide, and there is a rose on the cover, folks. You can... Jennifer, I love your book, but, all you got to do if you want to market to women is put a rose on the cover, right?
I don't think so. I think it takes more than that.
I know. But I love the flower. I love the flower. And it says A Woman's Guide to Authentic Power. But guys, I think we should read it because we need to know what the ladies are up to. Right, Jennifer?
Indeed. And the truth is, you know, the book has... I don't know. It just has principles that I think are really universal in it. So I'm glad that you like it, Jim.
There's no question. I even like the rose.
I'm so glad.
And it's got the little bud. It's got a little bud sticking out from it, you know, which I guess means hope, right?
Well, I don't think we got that esoteric
oh,
in the
really?
Meaning of it. I think it was really pretty.
You got to come here for that. You know, you got to come here for the esoteric stuff. Okay, we're talking about where we are right now, folks, in our conversation is Jennifer is proposing that instead of trying to make it happen, and I think I know you mean, don't always try to make it happen. Sometimes we have to make it happen. But I think what you're saying is sometimes lay back a little bit and let life happen. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You know, Jim, I think that we work too hard, most of us. We just
yeah.
work too hard. And in this past year, as I've been trying to regroup from a real burnout from working on the last couple of books that I did, I've really been examining this question, you know, how can we experience fulfillment in our creative process without overextending ourselves? And, you know, I've been really discovering this thing about what happens when I relax more and don't feel that, you know, I've got to go out there and push. And yesterday I was reading Deepak Chopra's Book of Secrets, and I think that I found the perfect words to give expression to what I'm talking about. If I could just share that with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
You know, Deepak.
Now, is this one of his secrets?
Yeah. Well, it's in
it's
his
not
book.
Anymore though, right?
No. It's all out there for everyone to get. You know, he talks in this book about how we can live life with the same wisdom and intelligence that our bodies have. And he gives the example of efficiency, which is what we're talking about here, how to really live life more efficiently so that we can experience fulfillment without overextending and without feeling like we're constantly pushing and struggling and forcing. He gives the example of the cells. And he says, you know, cells function with the least possible expenditure of energy.
Right.
In fact, typically a cell only stores 3 seconds of food and oxygen inside the cell wall.
Mm-hmm.
It trusts totally on being provided for, and in fact, excessive consumption of food, air, or water is not an option for the cell.
Mm-hmm.
And then he abstracts from that and says, that the way this would translate into living our life is this, that your ideal of efficiency is to let the flow of life bring you what you need. Force, control, and struggle are not your way. And I have had an example of that just happen to me in the last couple of weeks, and it has to do with what is probably going to be my next book. As I just relaxed this last year, and I must say that I have the blessing and good fortune of being able to do that. I was able to take some time off and really rest.
That is a blessing.
Yes, it really is. But as I wondered what will be the next project, but every time the impulse to say, okay, I've got to get some income going, I've got to make something happen, what is it going to be, and try to make something up, I relax and I said, no, I'm going to trust that as long as I understand that life really is like a river, that it flows and that all the right opportunities are going to come to me, I kept resisting that temptation to go out and make something happen. And last week, my publisher called me with the next project. And
without you trying to make it happen.
Without me doing anything.
But you still had to go be by the river.
Well, you can't escape it.
I'm saying is if you know the old joke about God sends you two boats and a helicopter,
yes.
You got to get on one of them.
Yes, exactly. Now,
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, it doesn't mean that I have to say yes to this project, but what I have to tell you is that I'm so excited about the project that the creative juices are already flowing again.
Well, what I think I hear from what you're saying is that you've done a lot of work. You've reached out to the marketplace. You've reached out to the world, and the world is responding to you. You've done a good job. You've done good work. You've done high-quality work. And you've been the kind of person that other people want to be around you. You've lived long enough on this earth now that you've got some critical mass in a number of different areas, number of different communities. And so now, yes, you are going to have to do some work. You can't just go, you know, lay in a Chase lounge the rest of your life. You do have to get up and be vertical and make some things happen. But 100% of where your life is going to go now doesn't depend on you making it all happen.
That is so beautifully said. That is my experience right now.
And
if I just get out of my own way, you know, stay out of my own way, stop thinking that I can do a better job than what the river of life has already got planned for me and brings to me every single day.
Yeah.
You know, and Jim, you know, to make this concept of the river of life, which is a little bit flowery sounding and a little bit abstract, to make it a little bit more concrete, here's what I would say.
Hold on to that
thought. We can talk about it after the break.
Hold on to that thought, folks. I've had what Jennifer's talking about happen to me, and you know what a knucklehead I am. And it is true. What she says is true, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, I'm going to ask her, how much does spirituality play in this? Stay with us, 10 till. Welcome back. It's 7 till. A lot of wisdom in this song, ladies and gentlemen. Atlanta Rhythm Section. Maybe our theme song in a lot of ways. Jennifer Hawthorne is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Jennifer Reed Hawthorne is the author of The Soul of Success. Jennifer, give us your website, please.
It's www.jenniferhawthorne.com.
And that's all that spelled just as you think it would be. And they can find your books wherever books are sold, right?
Absolutely.
She's a New York Times best-selling author, ladies and gentlemen. As you've heard me say before, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show, only the best for my audience. And Jennifer certainly fixed that bill. Folks, we're talking about something that I have experienced in my life, and that is... And it's taken years, Jennifer. It's taken me years to learn this. It's taken me failures to learn this. It's taken me expensive failures. It's taken me abject humiliation and totally being beat into the ground to learn some of these things that you're talking about now.
Me too.
And so you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And that is, and folks, when you heard me say the earlier part of the hour about, you know, me being through what you've gone through, there's virtually nothing that you've gone through that I haven't experienced. And so when you talk about Jennifer not trying to make everything happen, and you say you like to say forget about making it happen, I would prefer to think about that as don't try to make everything happen. Because there are some things I still believe. I'm still enough of a knucklehead, Jennifer. I still believe that I'm going to have to make some things happen. But I have learned. I have been in the river you talk about. I know what that river's like. I know what the water is like there. And I know that there's some things. There comes a point in a project or in my life where I have to say, I cannot do this by myself. I'm going to have help. And sometimes that's from other people, like you mentioned your publisher. And sometimes for me, Jennifer, it's a spiritual thing. It's prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It helps me stay in the river.
Well, sure. And, you know, Jim, before the break, we were talking about maybe giving an example to make what that phrase, river of life, make it a little bit more concrete. You know, an example that comes to me is just the fact that, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I often have a schedule of some kind, or I know I've got some things written in my appointment book. I know that I have to be here at a certain time and here at a certain point, and then I have, you know, this telephone call scheduled maybe for a certain time, and then there are several errands that I need to run and that kind of thing. And sometimes I can really lay my day out pretty meticulously. And even as I do that, I know that things can change. And I know that everybody listening to this knows this. The best laid plans, as we said earlier in the show today, things happen. Now, that is the river of life. We have an intention. We set out to do life a certain way, and yet it doesn't always unfold that way. In fact, it rarely unfolds that way. And that's why I say that there is a certain flow that goes on. And if we can just realize that that is the truth of life and accept that and understand that we're not always supposed to make it happen and that we don't really need to, life changes when we realize that.
There's a word, there's a term that I like to think about for myself, Jennifer. And it involves the word reveal. Whenever I say my little prayer, you know, I don't ask for things to be given to me. I just ask for things to be revealed to me. And I have to promise, though, to be paying attention and to be prepared to accept that revelation.
That's very beautiful. And, you know, we were talking about humility at the break also, and I think that's an important thing too, because I think that there is an inherent arrogance in the thought that I can do everything and
it's,
that
it's
I can
part and
make
parcel
it happen.
To an entrepreneur.
What's that?
It's part and parcel to an entrepreneur, that arrogance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that there's a difference between arrogance and confidence, and between arrogance and self-esteem. I think you have to really be confident in your ability if you're an entrepreneur, you know, that you're going to be able to be, you know, to create something. But I like to look at, I think that there's a greater potential for success if we know that we are going to be a vehicle through which something can manifest rather than really and truly be the creator or the producer of it all.
I like that. I like the way that sounds. Give us the website again too, Jennifer.
It's jenniferhawthorne.com.
The Soul of Success and others, ladies and gentlemen, wherever books are sold. Jennifer, thank you for being here. This is wonderful today. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Jennifer Hawthorne, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.